Thai FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Across Israel, defense forces have been talking about the concerns about unwillingness of soldiers to serve. How real is this? Is it personal burnout? Is it family strain? Is it politics? What is really going on there? I am joined by Lieutenant Colonel Maurice Hirsch. He's a senior fellow at the Jerusalem Center for Public Affairs. He's a former director of military prosecution for Judea and Samaria. Thank you for joining us. I hope you are well. Can you just paint the picture as to what is actually happening before we even start looking at some of the reasons behind it?
So good morning, Howard, and to all the listeners. I think that what we're seeing here is just a reflection of a little bit of the burnout. What we've seen in Israel over the last, I think, just over 2.5 years, is really a tremendous desire, push, drive of the entire country to serve and to ensure that we win the war on all of the 7 different fronts and conclusively. That has taken a tremendous toll from everybody, from families, from loved ones, from the fighters and the soldiers in the field as well, and obviously from seeing everyone at 2,000% motivation. Now we're now dropping down to about 1,990%, but I think that's about the extent of it, really.
It's one of the factors could possibly be, and I'm just curious about this. I was thinking about the. I wonder if Israel has tremendous military capability, experience, commitment, drive. It's got all of those things. The one thing it doesn't have is experience in fighting a war for a sustained period. Israel's never fought a war like this on this level for 2 years. Is there potentially some form of weakness or a capability missing in managing the IDF through a period of sustained fighting?
Well, so Howard, I think it's important to understand that when you're talking about a population, the entire population of Israel is only 10 million people, and of them probably 2 million of the Israeli Arabs, most of them don't serve. So we're talking about a Jewish population of about 7.5 million people, half of them are women, half of them are old. So really the onus of and the burden of all of the fighting has fallen on the shoulders of a very, very small group of people. And obviously for all of them, it's been incredibly difficult all the way through the 2 years. As you said, we're not equipped necessarily to fight such a long war. I don't think that we've ever taken into account that we would be required to fight such a long war. And so this really is one of the pillars of our national security doctrine was to win wars very quickly. And unfortunately, that hasn't happened now. So I think it is a new experience for Israel. It's something which obviously you don't always succeed immediately when you engage in such a substantial and long-term endeavor. And there have been ups and downs all the way through. I just saw, thank God, last night there was a meeting in the Ministry of Finance with all of the relevant people to ensure that there would be quite a substantial financial package offered and given to the reservists who have served so loyally for the last 2 years. And so I believe that finding that balance between how you really take all of these people out of the economy, out of their homes, away from their families for such a long time, but at the same time trying to in some way compensate them for their losses is I think the right balance going forward, at least on that financial level.
Yeah, because that must have been one of the, you know, there's different pressures. There's home front, there's financial, there's obviously mental health, and trust in leadership. If you look at all of those factors, you know, some of them, like the financial ones, can be can be dealt with. Some of the others, obviously, you know, the home front, maybe giving people support in terms of any counseling or anything that is needed. Because I would imagine that following a war like this, there is a significant amount of healing that needs to take place.
And let's put it quite clearly, Howard, I think that in Israel today, if you don't suffer from some kind of PTSD, then you are the odd one out. If you didn't experience that war almost directly from a relative, first degree relatives, children, sons, daughters, neighbors, best friends, if you haven't, almost everyone has experienced that loss of someone who was close to them. Mm. I think throughout the country, that is something which no one has been saved from. So there is a tremendous amount to do in Israel on that level of mental health. And I believe that it will take a long time, as we know. I hope you won't be offended by what I'm about to say, but I have a very, very dear neighbor, I won't say his name, who fought in the Yom Kippur War. And he, to this day, 50 years later, still suffers from PTSD. So it's something which, unfortunately, we may be able to superficially heal some of the wounds, but some of these wounds are going to stay with us for years and years. The people who experienced the October 7 massacre are probably never going to recover fully. That we have to take into account. These people saw terrors and really violence and mutilation that normal people shouldn't see, and that's something which unfortunately, similar to the many of the Holocaust survivors, will be with them for the rest of their lives.
Mm. I would hope, though, that because of the amount of education, information, and the knowledge that we have in 2025 versus 1973, with regard and people accepting that maybe they need a bit of emotional or mental support as to their families, that there might be a better chance of people finding a way to heal, because otherwise, as you say, you know, you're looking at your neighbor, but to some extent, everybody in Israeli society, to a greater or lesser extent, has suffered trauma over the last couple of years. I was saying to somebody last week, we were talking about it, and I'm sitting many, many, many miles, a whole country away, and I feel like I've spent the last 2 years in a tunnel. And that is a feeling that Jews around the world have. Can you imagine? Not you can imagine because you live it. What people within Israel are feeling. It's a whole nation that is traumatized, starting with the victims of October 7th outward.
Yeah, without question. And I do a lot of work with victims of terror in general, and the survivors tell the same story. That they go through this experience of almost some of them reliving their attacks over and over and over again, and now that was, albeit on a wide scale, but nonetheless limited event, and now we have, unfortunately, hundreds of thousands of people who have been involved in and seen that violence, and whilst that every Hamasnik, I believe, deserved to die. It's still not simple for any of our soldiers to have taken a life. I think we can probably recall the statement of Golda Meir that we can possibly forgive the Arabs one day for killing our children, but we can't forgive them for forcing us to kill their children. That's something which I believe resonates with us entirely. War is difficult, and in war you have to do things which you wouldn't do otherwise, and it's our children, it's our brothers, our sisters, who are doing these things, and they need avenues to express that anxiety, and the general public needs a lot of mental health providers that can walk us through the path to regaining some type of sanity, of stability. that's something which I think is, like I said, it's going to take a long time, and not everybody has that ability to, I'm going to go and get that therapy, although it's probably very much needed.
Absolutely right. We do need to leave it there, Lieutenant Colonel Maurice Hirsch from the Jerusalem Center for Security and Foreign Affairs, former Director of Military Prosecutions for Judea and Samaria, talking to us about the IDF, the personnel of the IDF, and Israeli society in general.